Okay. So I'm the oddball in this group. This is a strawberry session, and I'm talking about a different type of a fruit crop. This project is generally geared towards estimating the true requirement in a specialty fruit crop, aronia. So what is aronia? Aronia is a native fruit-bearing shrub of the eastern United States, most commonly found in the black chokeberry, Aronia melanocarpa, most commonly found in the mountain and Piedmont areas from Maine down to certain portions of southern United States. In Eastern Europe, it has been extensively grown in orchards for the past 30 or so years for juice production, juice concentrate production, jellies, jams, wines, and recently a lot of nutraceutical products have been created from this crop, primarily because of its high antioxidant production in the fruit, which makes it rather marketable. So what is the aronia we are growing today? Aronia melanocarpa, and this is from information from Leonard and others, 2013 Hort Science article. Actually, Mark Brand was part of that research. Aronia melanocarpa was probably bred in the mid-40s by a Russian breeder named Maturin. He bred it with Sorbus acuparia, mountain ash, European mountain ash, and then went back across it with aronia again, so that it is an intergeneric hybrid. What we have today and what we're growing with are cultivars of that intergeneric hybrid, and the name has been proposed Aronia maturinii. Often you'll see cultivars called Viking, Nero, and recently a relatively new cultivar has come to the United States called Galajenka. Mark Brand from the University of Connecticut has suggested that these are all the same plant because it's a tetraploid, and these cultivars may not necessarily be different in a way. So I used two of these cultivars in this project. The epicenter of aronia orchard production is in Iowa with some surrounding states. There are other states that are also growing aronia. I've missed two in here, Virginia and New York. Oftentimes I've been asked by potential growers, where is the southernmost region extent that I can grow this cultivar of aronia? And that is why I took on this little project. So my objectives were to determine the chill requirement for these cultivated aronia using Viking and Galajenka cultivars. Dr. Mark Brand has acquired several accessions of Aronia melanocarpa throughout the United States, the eastern portions from Maine down through portions of the southeast. If you're curious about which ones he has collected, Mark, you want to raise your hand so that if you've got questions about that, you can please ask him. There's only one reference to the Aronia chill hour requirement on the internet, that is. It's anecdotal, and the minimum was suggested 800 hours, which may or may not be true. I'm not sure. According to my research, I'm thinking it might be a little more than that. It's anecdotal. It's from Eldon Everhart. So my methods were between November and January of 2013-14, 2014-15. Plants were held outside. Hourly temperatures were monitored and logged. At select times, I would bring these plants, bring sets of these plants indoors, 23 degrees Celsius, with 12 hours of light, and I would monitor dormancy break. My temperature accumulation was calculated in three different methods. The single temperature method, everything below 7 degrees Celsius was logged as an hour. The dual temperature model, which was which hours were logged between 0 and 7 Celsius, and I used the Utah model for comparison, which assigns a weighted effectiveness of temperatures within, or a weighted effectiveness of chill requirement, or chill units, within a range of temperatures. My first year, I had 5 Viking and 5 Galajankas per set. What I have in this table is column one is the sets of plants I brought up. For instance, set one was December 17th, 2013. The first, the hours in units, the first number is the single unit or the single temperature model. The second number is the dual temperature model, and the third number is the Utah model. And then I would describe the results of dormancy breakage after a certain amount of time. So for instance, with this set, after 5 weeks, one Galajanka fully broke dormancy, one partially broke, and another broke a lateral bud. Five Vikings only did bud swell, no more than that. January 15th, somewhere in the middle of January, I missed a large portion of that period. I'm not sure exactly when I was, what those limits were, so I decided to take it late. So I logged in about 1,115 hours of single temperature chill time, and after 3 weeks, all those plants broke dormancy with a set two. Again, set three and set four. This was pretty straightforward, and what I really wanted to do was try to figure out what was going on between 750 hours and 1,115. So I did a second study. I used Galajanka, six to eight plants. My first set was the 16th of December. I logged 736 hours of single hour with a single hour. Week six, only one broke terminal bud and three broke lateral. The rest of the plants, of the seven plants that I have in parentheses in that first column, did nothing. Then right before Christmas, I brought another set in, and you can see week four, week six, week seven, week nine. We're getting some terminal bud break, some lateral bud break, but it was certainly not full to the full extent. Nothing more happened after week nine. The third set, which was right after Christmas and just before New Year's, 929 single hour single model temperature there. Week three, two broke terminal buds, so on and so forth, and you can see that. The fourth is where I really started seeing some better results, and right before my last year's 1,115 model, and. And in the last week, or the last set, I had over 1,400 hours in the single model, the single temperature model. So right here, what I was able to determine by week five, those plants had all broke, most plants, 95%, I guess, broke terminal bud, which was where I was looking at. Probably this is the area which I need to focus on more for the next study. So in my conclusions, the first year had more distinct dormancy divisions, and I was really surprised to see how uneven things broke that second year. The greater the chill time, the more vigorous the dormancy break. So for instance, this was the first set for 2014-15, and then the second set. This is after 14 weeks with the second set. After 13 weeks with the third set, this is the set that I was referring to as being probably the area where we can determine the chill hours with, or chill units. And this is after 10 weeks with the last set. Oddly enough, one of my plants did not break bud and passed, and it died within a few weeks after the set was brought in. Interestingly enough, and this is not a surprise to knowing how temperate deciduous plants work, the lateral buds have a shorter chill requirement than the terminal buds did. Most of the fruit production is in the terminal buds, so it's really important that Aronia breaks those terminal bud dormancies. So just having a chill hour that breaks lateral buds is not going to be good enough for fruit production. You can see that picture right there shows terminal bud not break, or terminal bud not breaking, but lateral buds are breaking. So initial estimations would place the southern limit of this fruit crop somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 chill hours time, and I think that's with the 2 hour two temperature or the dual temperature model. That sets it just about right here. The northern borders of Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi, Now, I have some interesting areas with that may be some exceptions, right in here especially, with those are mountain areas. I've spoken to some people in northern Alabama that said that they get well over 1,100 hours for the past 5 years, and they're confident that Aronia will work out. I said, give it a shot. Additionally, right in here in South Dakota, I know they're growing Aronia, and they only get 1,000 hours average with the dual temperature model. So something is up with that. Further studies, certainly I'd like to have more plants, more studies need to be done around that 1,000 hour line. I'd like to examine more closely the Utah model because there was a lot of inconsistencies with it. Certainly there's a more about dormancy breaking factors, which I need to understand, especially with the dynamic model of Fishman and others in 1987. And I would certainly like to work with Mark in developing breeding lines to study the southern populations since they potentially have the ability to break dormancy much earlier than northern populations would. And I would like to entertain any questions. That's it. Okay. It's either clear as mud or... All right. Very good. Thank you very much.